Good morning, Rabotai. We're continuing our study of Eshet Chayil. We are in discussion about the koach, about the power of the woman in her home and what she's capable of achieving in a way that only a woman can do. A woman must know what's unique about her and how she's capable of raising her husband and bringing up her children. One of the great principles that we've been discussing is that the woman is all about the atmosphere. It's all about bringing the ruach, the spirit of the home. That's what she's good at. That's her expert. One of the important areas in creating an atmosphere is when the woman realizes what the Pasuk says when Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu by Har Sinai, Ko tomar lebet Yaakov. This is what you should say to the woman. Vetaged lebnei Yisrael. And this is how you should speak to the men. When it comes to the woman, it says, Tomar, say. Hachamim teach us that the difference between Tomar and Taged is that Tomar is soft. Moshe Rabbeinu is told when you speak to the woman, you speak to them softly. Because the nature of a woman is that she's able to hear things better when it's soft. And also, the nature of a woman is that when she wants to teach, she wants to give over, it needs to be done in a soft manner. One of the great powers of a woman and the source of her greatest influence is her softness to speak calmly. A woman needs to know that it's not a good place for her when she raises her voice. Today it's become perhaps more common that women raise their voice just like men. It's one of the tragedies where women try to become like men. But the nature of a woman, and she needs to know her power, is the softness of her voice. That she should not be raising her voice. And that is the atmosphere in which she will be able to accomplish so much of what she wants. The husband's got his own way of speaking. Maybe a little tougher, maybe a little louder, maybe a little stronger. But when it comes to the woman, her koach, her power, is her softness. It would be a tragedy for a woman to think that her power is going to come from her loudness. Specifically, the softness and the calmness of her voice and her actions is the power to affect and change for the good everything around her. You should know one of the conditions. The reason why a woman is soft is not accidental. Hashem made a woman that way. She's the Bet Yaakov. The reason why the woman needs to be soft, meaning it's not opposite. It's not Hashem needed to choose one of the two and he happened to choose a woman. No. He chose a woman for a very important reason. Since she is the one that's supposed to be in charge of the home, and she's the one that sets the tone for the home, and the child growing up in a home, a woman and man must know that one of the conditions for the well-being of a child, when I say well-being, I mean physical well-being, I mean emotional well-being, I mean social well-being, I mean spiritual well-being, I mean when he's a child. Also, I mean when he will get older, it will have an effect on him for the rest of his life. One of the key conditions in raising a successful human being is when he's young, he grows up in an atmosphere of calmness. Calmness to a child is like oxygen. The same way you can't breathe and you can't live without oxygen, you cannot be successful in life unless you make tremendous changes. Of course, every person can make changes, no matter where they were put in life. But it would take a tremendous amount of change. If a child didn't get the calm, relaxed, comfortable atmosphere in the home, there's a word in Hebrew called lahatz. Lahatz means tension. When is tension created in a home? So many places. The tension between a husband and wife, number one. When there is tension in the home, in that relationship, it creates a very weak footing for the child in his life. Imagine walking on a floor that's very, very weak, and at any step, at any turn, the guy can fall right in. That's how it is to live life when the footing was tension. When there's tension, the strength of a child is weakened, and it can show up and will show up years ahead. You will see that child involved with the wrong friends, doing the wrong things, 30 years later. And it's still a product of the shaky ground of tension that he was raised under. When there is calmness, when there's no tension in the home, it makes a very solid footing for the child. Makes him confident. Makes him capable of making good friends and good decisions. Makes him able to put his energy into certain areas of life that may need courage. He's got a strong footing. When you have strong footing, you could jump. You could run. When you have a weak floor under you, every step is scary. Every step is risky. Tension can come from the relationship that his parents have with him. Many parents love their children so much that they demand a tremendous amount for them because they love them. They want them to do good in school. They want them to be educated. That's a beautiful thing to want for your children. But you could do it with lahats. Many caring, the caring parents in this area could be the most dangerous. Sometimes you get a child that comes out great from a home that doesn't care about education. They don't care about many things. And here's a kid that's powerful. Say, where did this guy come from? Very often, it's because there's no lachatz. Not from a good place. The parents don't care too much. So they live in a very relaxed atmosphere. They don't care if he learns. They don't care if he goes to school. They don't care what he does. They don't care if he goes to shul. They don't care if he puts on a kippah. They don't care if he makes berachot. They don't care. Not good parents. Not good parents. But one thing came out of it is the kid grew up without tension. He woke up at 12 o'clock, no problem. He went out, didn't come home at night, no problem. They don't care. Again, not good parents. I say again, make sure you understand. Not good. If you don't parent your children, how will you be able to see their good fruits? But one positive thing comes out of that home is there is no tension. There's no yelling. There's no screaming. There's no pressure. So believe it or not, sometimes in such a place, you'll find a very powerful child. He grows up to be a strong adult because of the comfort and the calmness and the strong floor that he's standing on, being he didn't have lahats. I give you an extreme example just to bring out the point. Obviously, that's not the way to raise a child. That's taking a huge risk to allow a child to do his own thing, and hopefully he'll land in all the right spots. But the flip side of that is a very, very, very caring parent. Very. They care so much about his education. There are parents who care very much about education. And they create a lahats, a tension around that area. There are parents that care very much about social interaction, the right friends, whatever they think is the right friends, it's irrelevant, but they care very much about social success. Social, by the way, is important. Not necessarily he has to be friends with the people that you want to be friendly with, but having the ability to socialize and be friendly with people. But anyway, for some parents, that's number one. I don't care if the kid doesn't learn. I want him to be successful. They call that street smart. I want him to be in the street, to know how to talk, to know how to get along with people. So, tension is created in that area. There are parents who have a lot of goals for their children spiritually. They want them to be Gedolei Hador. They want them to be the giants of the generation. They want them to finish Shas. They want them to be Tzadikim. They want them to be Tzadikot. Who can argue with that? The dream of every father and mother, every authentic father and mother, has a dream that their children should be like Ephraim and Menashe, like Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, like Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah. That's been always the dream of a great Jewish father and mother. But very often, that creates an atmosphere of tension when it's done in a way where it's not relaxed. the demands become very much pressure. Pressure is good in life, but it has to be measured. And very often it has to be accepted by the person under pressure. To put others under pressure is very difficult. Tension is destructive for a child when he's little and will last with him for many years to come. This is why Hashem created the woman with a capability of running a home without tension. Soft, comfortable, pressure that's limited, with wisdom. Again, you might tell me, I know a lot of women, they have a lot of tension themselves. They yell and scream, and you should know the authentic woman, if she knows what she is good at, she will find it. This is the model woman. If she's doing things differently, it's because the street has lost the difference between a wife and a husband. If a woman would know, this is her koach, this is her energy, this is her strength, and it's her mission. She walks into her home day number one. Her mission is that this home needs to be ragua. Ragua means calm, comfortable. That is the job of a Jewish wife and mother. Beli lachatz. No tension in the home. You have an argument with your husband? Go out for a ride and yell at each other. But in the home, calmness. It's a big undertaking. Both the husband and wife have to be involved. But a woman needs to know she is the one that leads in this area. That's what a child desperately needs to become a successful person. One of the things that a woman has to be careful in her home is not to get nervous and angry, especially at her children. It doesn't mean they could do whatever they want. Absolutely not. Very often, instruction automatically assumes that you have to raise your voice and you have to yell and you have to get angry. How else are you going to show them what's right? This is a bitter mistake. Bitter for the person and bitter for the recipient. Very often, because the mother is so involved in so many areas with her children, whether she's feeding them, whether she's waking them up, whether she's putting them to sleep, whether she's dealing with their homework, whether she's refereeing between the siblings. The mother very often is around many situations in the home that could be very tense. The husband, not as much. He's not around that much. It's one of the reasons, by the way, he's not around. Because he probably can't handle it. If he was in the house, there'd be a lot of tension. Because he can't handle all the many things that go on in the house. So the best thing he could do is leave. Go to shul. Go to learn. Go to work. Come back home and leave quickly. Come back later. The biggest beracha for the home is when the husband's out. It's not an exaggeration. For most husbands, it's very difficult to take all the different areas that can bring tension and not explode. I'm not giving a license to any man to explode. And I'm telling you, the general makeup of a man is that he doesn't have those gifts that a woman has. A woman could be in such situations from morning till night and have the ability to remain calm and soft and remain with the atmosphere that is going to raise a beautiful family. One of the examples, for example, one of the areas of tension that every mother could appreciate is waking up the children in the morning. That's a big one. Most children do not like to get up in the morning. In fact, most adults don't get up in the morning. So now, it's time for wake up. Obviously, after one time, they're not waking up. Two times, three times, four times. Now she's getting lachatz. She's under pressure. The bus is coming. At some point, do or die. The couples, it's like outside. It's going to be late to school. So she starts off calmly, but when the heat is on, now she starts to let go. Let go could mean raising her voice. Let go could mean anger. Let go can sometimes mean some negative words as well. Maybe calling the kid lazy, but not in a, you know, in a chinuch way, not in a educational way, more like a description. Who can blame a woman in that situation? Now, times this by six. You got six beds to do this to. Each one with their own couple and schedule, and each one is going back to sleep after you woke them up. So, I do not know myself how this is humanly possible. To go through a morning like this and come out in an atmosphere of calm. I don't know. I don't know how to do it. But this is the challenge of the great woman. She needs to know in the morning when she wakes up that her goal, number one, is not to wake them up. That's when things will change. Her goal is not to wake them up. That's the second goal. The first goal is it should be a calm morning. A calm morning without tension is a blessing for the rest of the day. Second goal is they should be on time. Of course, it's possible to fulfill both goals. It's possible to get them up early and to have calmness. A person doesn't need to scream to be loud. A person could be very, very calm and give strong messages and get the job done. You don't need to put the kid down to get him up. It doesn't help. It makes you feel bad and it makes him feel bad. He doesn't want to upset you either. He doesn't feel good when his mother's upset because of him. Is the reality. You can get both done. You can have a calm morning and you can have kids waking up. Now, let's say you gave me a hypothetical situation. Hypothetical. Where you tell me, listen, either I get angry, scream and yell, and then they're going to get up, or they're going to stay sleeping. They're going to be late today. Hypothetical, because it doesn't have to be. So, probably the choice is, better they should be late. How come? And I'm not saying being late is good. But it's better than the other one. Why? There have been many great people in life that grew up, became great men and great women. And they used to be late in the morning to school. It's not a great thing to be late. But many people grew out of it and became something special. But it's very hard to find special people that became great in an atmosphere of tension. So you're trying to get them up because they need to get up, because they have to be something, because they have to be on time. Okay, great. But what are you sacrificing? You're sacrificing taking the rug from under their feet. Constant, day after day, tension in the morning is not healthy. Listen, once in a while, we're human beings, obviously. Probably everyone listening to this, especially a woman, is feeling bad, feeling guilty. We're not angels. We make mistakes. We're not here to talk about perfection as the only solution to success. But we must know what is success. Once in a while, you make a mistake. But the general atmosphere, day after day, has to be one of respect, one of kindness, and one of calmness. That is where great people grow. It's a very big undertaking. But the great woman is able to make that happen. That's why she's in the home. And that's why she's not running to catch a minyan. That's why she's not going to learn with her havruta. Again, in a world where people are trying to copy others. Realizing one's potential and what they could bring to the table is the key to success. Softness comes with the dibur. A woman has the capability of bringing with her mouth so much good to her children, to her husband. The words of a person are the most powerful part of the human being. The Kuzari, when he talks about the different levels of creation, he speaks about the domem. The domem is the inanimate rocks, sand, lowest. Then he talks about the tzomeach, the things that grow, like plants and trees. And then he talks about the high animals that are alive. They breathe and run and move. And then when he comes to the human being, he calls him the medaber, the one who knows how to talk. That means out of all human attributes, the most human one is talking. And nobody's better at talking softly and talking to the heart and talking to the soul like a woman is able to use her soft words with her family and children, talking with calmness, talking with content of ahava, showing love through the words, showing appreciation through the words, showing the qualities of the person through the words, compliments. Such a home where the words that are coming out are either respectful, grateful, complimentary. That's a home. That's an atmosphere. That's how you build an atmosphere. An atmosphere is not built by presence. It's built by actions. The way you speak, every time you speak calmly and beautifully, It's entering the walls and the atmosphere of the home. That's what it's all about. And when a person speaks the other way, God forbid, there's words, dibur, that makes things negative. Putting down somebody, being ungrateful, complaining, and on. That ruins the atmosphere. Now, everybody likes to have a nice temperature in the home, Baruch Hashem. In today's world, we have such an easy time. We have heating and cooling, and you always leave the temperature the way we like it. 70 degrees. In the winter, we want it to be 70 degrees. In the summer, we want it to be 70 degrees. How do you get this to that beautiful temperature? Well, when it's hot, you got to cool down. And when you cool, you got to warm up. The 70 degree temperature always needs work. It's not going to be 70 degrees in your house ever. Maybe 3 days a year, you'll get 70 degrees without any kind of outside help. You're always going to have to adjust yourself to get to the temperature of 70 degrees. And that's what a home needs. Yes, you'll have some lucky days in your life where things are just going. You don't need to put any effort. You don't have to think about it. It's nice. It's calm. It's easy. But most days, you're going to have to either warm up because you're feeling a little cool, or you have to calm down because you're feeling too hot. But the 70 degree temperature can't change. You gotta figure it out. Again, you'll have your lucky days where temperature's perfect. But normally, you're not that lucky. Normally, there are things going on in your life. They're gonna make this class sound, you know, classes when you hear them, they sound very easy. I make them sound so easy. It's easy. You go to the home, compliment everybody, thank everybody. Please put a smile on your face. Gorgeous. You walk out of this place, say, what's wrong with me? It's so easy. But we all know it's not like that. Because there's always something fighting you. Either the cold air is fighting you, the hot air is fighting you. But you gotta make it work. A home that doesn't have that temperature adjuster is gonna be either too hot or too cold. We must work to get to that temperature. A woman needs to know, in this home, she should put on a new, A new thermostat. I wish we could create, I once had a dream like that, that we would create a thermostat for the avira, for the atmosphere of the home. How is the home? Imagine you put a thermostat there. In some homes, it's going to be way below the standard. But it's nice to see it. Oh, wow. It's supposed to be, it's 50 degrees here. It's freezing here. How are people living in this house? That's what would happen if you had that item. But you know what? The great woman needs to have it with her always. The temperature of the home, the atmosphere of the home, is where she needs to focus. Sometimes the dibur, sometimes the words, we spoke about dibur that builds. We spoke about staying away from words that destroy. Be careful not to use your mouth in a way that's destructive. Sometimes a woman's koa, her ability, is to use words that help. Like the stomach of the person. What does the stomach do? It takes the food and digests it. Because sometimes the food is too big. it needs to be broken down so that it could pass. Sometimes life situations are a little big for a child. Maybe what just happened in the house is a little much for him. Maybe what's going on in school is a little heavy. Maybe his friends made fun of him. Maybe the work in school is too heavy for him. Maybe the pressure, whatever. A great woman knows how to speak and allow him to digest, to break it down. What's going on? What happened? Not necessarily she's going to solve all the problems. The stomach doesn't solve all the problems. It just breaks it down where it's easier to flow. A great woman is able to take a big issue that one of her family members is having, whether it's a husband, whether it's children, and just have a way of just talking about it. Oh, did you get upset when Daddy spoke to you yesterday? I saw you yesterday. When Daddy told you something on the table, I saw you got a little upset. I was able to see that. Did you get upset? No, Ma, nothing. Not. I saw. Okay, a little bit. Why did you get upset? Because you thought Daddy was meant to say this to you? That's not what he meant. Maybe he came out wrong. That's not what he meant to tell you. He really was telling you this. And maybe he raised his voice. He's just trying to show you how important it is. Do you understand how big that is? You understand that conversation? How huge it is in a home to be able to digest life situations, whether the person that spoke to them was wrong or not. Their feelings are their feelings. A teacher did something. How to digest that? How do you digest a friend's situation? He didn't get invited somewhere. He didn't get what he thought he should get. They digest things. Sometimes parents want for their children, of course, everything that makes them happy. For example, he's a child that's working hard for 9, 10 years in school, 12 years, and they think they're valedictorian. They're working 12 years to become valedictorian. By the way, I don't know that valedictorian means anything, just for the record. Just telling you. It means a lot to work hard and do well. But to have a title valedictorian, from my experience, it's something parents shouldn't want for their children. It's not a great thing. Becomes something negative, possibly. So you have to relax. But working hard is good. Doing well, doing the best you can, that's what you need. You don't need the certificate. You don't need it. Not necessary. In fact, I tell my children, I don't want you to be valedictorian. I want you to do great, but you don't have to be valedictorian. But let's say a kid has it in his head, I don't know where he got it from, maybe his parents, that his measurement of success, you gotta be number one. If you don't speak in graduation, you failed. So now what happens? Goes to school, 12 years, he's expecting it, and it doesn't happen. Very hard, very heavy. Now, a great mother, she will come to help him digest it. Unfortunately, many caring mothers, they make it harder to swallow. Instead of being wise in how to help digest this situation, they take the side of the child as a support. That they love their child. They feel bad for them. I understand that. They want to support them, but supporting them, they make the package heavier. Instead of giving it digestion. There's so many situations in a home where things are hard to swallow, especially for a child. And he needs someone to help him digest it. He doesn't need someone to help him make it bigger. Whatever the situation is, doesn't matter who's right or wrong. Bottom line, dibur, the words, the calm, comforting, directive words of a mother have so much power to help digest a conversation with a father that didn't go so well. A situation in school that didn't go so well. A situation with friends that's bitter, not so easy. Who has that koah? The mother. She needs to know that. So there's dibur. We spoke about words that encourage and bring simha into the home. Stay away from the words that destroy and bring people down in the home. And then there are words that help digest challenges that every person goes through in life. The great mother with her soft words is able to bring down the issue and it could slide nicer and easier. The power of a mother with her calmness and her calm words is irreplaceable. She can do it better than anybody else, but she needs to know that's her capability and that's her mission. She needs to know both. She's capable and it's her mission. It's a priority, especially on Shabbat when the table is set and the family is together. Oh, the Shabbat table needs to be a place of joy, a place of comfort, a place where the people around are full of smiles, the power of a smile in general. Smile says so much. That should be the general atmosphere in the home. Smile says, I love you. A smile says, I'm happy to see you. A smile says, life is beautiful. A smile says, Hazaku Baruch. A smile has so many words that it's saying. It's not possible to write it all in that quick second. That's why Hashem gave a smile. That's the way the home should be. It should be a place of hiyuch, of smiling. Hazal tell us that a good smile is better than milk. How much does a mother spend with her little infant to make sure they're getting the right milk, the right amount of milk? How much struggle they have to feed their children? Come Hachamim and remind the great woman, you see, I know you think milk is important, and it is. The right amount of milk, the right type of milk. You're right, it's the most important. What more the child needs when he's little than milk? Come Hachamim with their own beautiful way, and they say you should know that a smile for your child is healthier than the milk. The milk will give him strength, he needs it, but he needs a smile more. That's how big a smile is. A smile for a person, especially a young person, growing up, is healthier, it's more powerful, it puts him on his feet. He may not get smiles the rest of his life. I don't know where he's going to be, who he's going to work for, who he's going to learn with, who's going to be his rabbi, who he's going to be married to. I don't know if he's going to get all the warmth in the world. You know, the world out there is not always very warm. Some people in their home, they prepare their children for the cold world by being cold, so they're ready for the cold world. This is the foolishness. People actually think that the world is not so nice to everybody. So how do I prepare my child? It's a terrible mistake. When a kid grows up in a home in an atmosphere of warmth and strength, that strength will give them strength throughout their life, even when others are not warm and pleasant to them. That strength they have from their mother keeps them on their feet for the rest of their life. It's a huge, huge investment. Hachamim tell us, Tov amalbim shinaim lachavero. Better, greater is the one who gives a smile to his friend, mimashkeu halav, than the one who gives him milk. It's an unbelievable thing. Hachamim give us such power in their words, in their assessment. And the Shabbat table, when the family's together, two meals, sometimes three meals. People are dressed, no phones. The Shabbat table is the greatest opportunity to bring this calmness, this happiness, to talk to their children, how their week was. I once heard from Rabbi Yehuda Ades, I love Shlita, Shush, give me refuah shlema.
Amen.
He says his mother used to say, he had children, and his mother would come over on Shabbat. I think she was an almana. So she would come to visit, and they were raising their children. She says one day she pulled over her son, Rabbi Yehuda Ades, told him, son, the Shabbat table is not a court. It's not a bedim. Not a court. What you do, what you learn. You have your Dvar Torah. You have it. Shabbat table is not a bedim. It's not a court. Shabbat table is sweet. Shabbat table is calm. Shabbat table is happy. Shabbat table is candy. Shabbat table is a Dvar Torah. Dvar Torah. Let the father say Dvar Torah. Give a nice story. Kids say nice Dvar Torah, no problem. But without lahats, without tension. It's not a bed thing. It's not a cool. What a beautiful, beautiful line. It's not a bed thing. It's beautiful. Songs, compliments, beautiful things. An interest in each person around the table. This is what a Shabbat is able to bring us besides the many benefits of Shabbat. The Shabbat table. To create the atmosphere. This is one of the great accomplishments of the authentic Eshet Chayil. It's one of her tremendous challenges. Not easy. But she was given the tools. She must believe that she has the tools to create that perfect temperature of atmosphere in the home, regardless of what's going on out in her life or in her family's life. Sometimes it's not easy out there, but the home has to remain at the perfect temperature. Baruch Adonai le'olam, amen ve'amen.